This should indeed be a day of great rejoicing for all of us who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can think of no place that I would rather be on this very special, significant day than with my brothers and sisters in Christ. As we were singing that first song this morning, my mind went back to the worship times that we had in Uganda, East Africa, where indeed the people would have been dancing and clapping in churches that are filled to capacity week by week, service after service. And so it is with great joy in our lives today that we worship the risen Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and he desires, he longs to dwell within each one of us. O God, our Father, we thank you that we have journeyed through the Easter season. As we have focused on your death, your resurrection, and have lived in eager anticipation of this glorious day when the promise spoken of by prophets of old, spoken of by yourself, was wonderfully and gloriously fulfilled when the Holy Spirit came to indwell the lives of those who had committed themselves to you. And so I pray this morning, Lord Jesus, that all of us here would indeed know your indwelling presence in our lives, that we may go from this place renewed in our faith, challenged and enriched to tell others that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he is calling people to come and to take up their cross and to follow him, to bow the knee and to humbly acknowledge that God loved this world so much that he gave his only Son to die upon the cross, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. I begin by asking you a question this morning, and it's a very basic question. What would you consider to be one of the most important events in history? I suppose we could, and we would indeed, list many, many, many important events that have impacted and influenced civilization for good and for bad. Indeed, this week, we were reminded of the event of D-Day, which was the beginning of the defeat of Nazism in Germany. An event that was celebrated with tears, with sorrow, but also with joy and thanksgiving for the lives of the thousands of men and women who died in that horrific war. And so we could indeed list many events in the history of civilization which we indeed are proud to remember. But today I ask you, as I ask myself, how many of us would indeed refer in general conversation to the day of Pentecost being one of the most significant days in the history of civilization, in the history of the world. The birth of Jesus Christ in a Bethlehem stable was a most and always must be a memorable and crowning event in the history of the world. As indeed must be the life, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must never minimize or underestimate the power of the death of the Lord Jesus on that cross, of the horrendous suffering that he endured on that cross for every man, woman, and child who has ever lived, who is alive today, and will be born and live until Jesus comes again. The resurrection was indeed a most powerful, life-transforming event, again that we must never minimize or forget. But alas, how many today, even within the church, would acknowledge and recognize the significance of the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1 and verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the age." In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them without exception, were filled, were energized, were transformed, were renewed, were inspired with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Here was a glorious, glorious promise fulfilled. A promise fulfilled, and it was the beginning of a new age, of a new era, the age of the Holy Spirit. It is an event that is almost indescribable. We can talk about the Holy Spirit. We can minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. But the more and more I read and think about the Holy Spirit, it is almost indescribable to relate all that the Bible teaches and wants us to know about the Holy Spirit. A sound. What an amazing sound it must have been. Can you imagine for a moment what must have been happening in that upper room where the disciples and others were gathered, waiting in eager anticipation, and I'm sure with some anxiety and concern, when is the event that Jesus told us about before he went up to heaven, when is it actually going to happen? And suddenly, without any announcement, there was a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. It came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Imagine, if you can, what would happen this morning if that was to occur here amongst us. It happened in Pond Inlet on Baffin Island a few years ago. Roslyn and I had the privilege, through Archbishop Terry Buckle, of listening on an audio cassette as to what happened in that church one Sunday morning in Pond Inlet. There was no doubt that this was a stirring, an awakening, as God's Holy Spirit swept through that church and had a transforming impact on that community of Inuit people with whom Roslyn and I had served for many, many years in the Western Arctic. Verse 3, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Try to understand and to describe what was actually happening. It defies human reason, human explanation, because this was divine intervention. This was God pouring out His Holy Spirit upon those who were assembled in that particular place. And I think it's fair to say, and you are free to disagree with me, but I believe that it is fair to say that encounters with the Holy Spirit are often beyond human explanation. Encounters with the Holy Spirit are often beyond human explanation. In verse 12 of chapter 2, we read, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? What does this mean? Well, initially, it meant that the Holy Spirit is here, the fulfillment of decades of promises, the fulfillment of Jesus' teaching in John's Gospel, the fulfillment of Jesus' words in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It actually happened. And it was to be intensely personal. And that is one of the joys of the Christian faith, isn't it? That we have a very intimate, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus because of the Holy Spirit living within us. Jeremiah 33, chapter 33, verse 33, I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. Isaiah 44, verse 3, which Wally read, I will pour out my spirit on your descendants. And in John chapter 14, Jesus, talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit, said, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And there are many, many more verses that could be referred to. But the promise and the fulfillment of a personal and intimate relationship with God became a reality for those who were gathered in the upper room. It was personal. It was intimate. It was subjective. And so it should be for all of us. But also, there was to be a focus on mission. A focus on mission and ministry, because you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my emissaries. You shall be my ambassadors. Wherever you go, you are entrusted with the incredible good news of the gospel, and you have the indwelling power of my risen life to go and to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the subjective was to be objective, to see the world and to have a vision of winning the world for Christ. And so there is no doubt that it was an amazing experience. I wonder if you would have liked to have been there. I think I would have liked to have been there. But I think also it would have had a high degree of overwhelming presence in my life. It was indeed a very disturbing occasion. It was a disturbing occasion, first of all, for the assembled crowd. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. It spread, the noise, the sound, outside of the house where they were. It must have been loud, undeniably loud, unapologetically loud, and it was already beginning to have an impact. And should not the gospel, wherever it is sung, wherever it is lived, have an impact on the lives of people? For the assembled crowd, it was a time of confusion and chaos and bewilderment. Secondly, it was a declaration that Satan was defeated. Thirdly, God was now with and within his people. The transforming power was to enable his people to what? First of all, to overcome the power of the evil one. To overcome the power of sin. Secondly, it was to enable his disciples, his followers, to have inner peace and joy. Thirdly, it was to equip for ministry. For you see, you do not live a private Christian life. It is a contradiction in terms. You do not just give your life to Christ, read your Bible, say your prayers, and go to church and go home. No. We are to be a community that has a willingness and a readiness to go and to proclaim and to live out the good news wherever we are. We are equipped for ministry through the gift and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are indeed renewed, transformed people. Did not the Apostle Paul write in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, "And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." There it is, so succinctly expressed in this verse of scripture. Hope does not disappoint us. They were living in hope and in anticipation of the fulfillment of the words that Jesus had spoken. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. It is personal. And oh, what a blessing. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that the Holy Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus has taken up residence in my life and in the life of every Christian, of every person who can say with confidence that Jesus Christ is their risen Lord and Savior. And so the day of Pentecost happened. But there is always a question. And it is an important question. Are you filled with the fullness, with the joy, and the peace of the Holy Spirit? Are you serving? Are you living for the Lord Jesus in the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit? There was a time in my own life when I wasn't, and yet I could tell you the place, the time when I received that assurance, that empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It was in a little Methodist chapel when I was in Bible college, and an evangelist was speaking to the group of students who were on this mission. And on that day, as Norman Smith spoke, I saw this light behind him. And it was though Norman was just speaking to me, to my heart. Oh, I was a Christian, but there was a lack of power. There was a lack of confidence. There was a lack of assurance. And that day, that morning, in that brief devotional talk, I knew beyond all doubt that God had entered my life in a new way. And the following, that evening, I saw Norman and I wanted to tell him. And I walked towards him before the evening mission service. And I said, Norman, I have something to tell you. And he looked me straight in the eye and he said, Jeffrey, I know. And he told me what had happened. And so I ask you today, not have you had an experience like mine, but do you know the fullness and the joy and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? A long time ago, someone wrote these words, why does the world stay the same, despite there being so many churches, so many pastors and seminaries? Why? It is probably because many Christians are not like the Christians in the book of Acts. Remember, we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard, said Peter. How often do we speak of our relationship with the Lord Jesus to our friends, to our neighbors, to our families who do not know the Lord? Men and women on the day of Pentecost were filled with the Holy Spirit. They became totally committed to the Lord Jesus. They knew the one in whom they believed. And equally important, they now knew why they believed. And so, what does this mean? What does the day of Pentecost mean to you as it comes round each year? Well, Peter steps up to the plate. And he preaches a sermon. And here we see how Peter's life was absorbed in Old Testament scripture. He stands and he doesn't say, let me explain, but this is what he does say. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Unschooled, he hadn't had the opportunity of any education, so to speak of. But here was a man who had the courage to stand and to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Let me explain. And he does, with such skill, with such articulation, with such authority, and with the power of the Holy Spirit just flowing from his life. Verse 17 to 21 of Acts chapter 2, he focused on Old Testament prophecy, and he shows how the Old Testament prophets were so current and up to date. And now their words, in many ways, were being wonderfully fulfilled. In verse 22, Peter focuses on the miracles and on the death of Jesus Christ. In verse 24 to 32, he focuses on the resurrection. In verse 36, he focuses on the lordship of Christ. And then in verse 37 to 40, here comes the crunch. He brings application to his message. The people said, having listened to him, "What should we do?" And Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And that is the message that has echoed throughout the centuries. And it is a message that will continue to echo and impact and transform the lives of many who commit their lives to Jesus. And as I read these words over and over and over again, I see Peter speaking with clarity. I see Peter speaking an uncompromising yes and an uncomfortable message. I see Peter speaking with boldness, with boldness. I see Peter speaking with fire in his heart, with enthusiasm burning from his heart and his mind. A man who was on a mission, and a mission that would ultimately lead to his death. He declared that the gospel is for all people, and how we need that gospel today in a world of so much chaos and confusion. Good news that Peter brought was a complete contradiction to what the world of his day thought that religion was. And today, it is so very different to what many people consider to be the gospel. Oh yes, the day of Pentecost, it was the beginning of a much needed spiritual awakening. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it brought, first of all, assurance where there was anxiety and doubt. Do you suffer sometimes from doubt about some of the songs we sing and the themes that are expressed? When you're reading your Bible or you're in prayer, do you sometimes have nagging doubts that, is this really true? Can I really apply this to my life? Well, the day of Pentecost was assurance and reassurance that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the lives of those gathered in the upper room, especially the disciples, the apostles, were never to be the same again. Secondly, the day of Pentecost brought a wonderful spiritual refreshment to their lives. And so should the Holy Spirit in our lives be a time of refreshment and renewal. When you are worshiping, Annie Dillard once said that when we go to church to worship, we should take crash helmets with us in preparation for what God is going to do. Oh, I long to see people being converted, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. There was renewal to inspire confidence, hope, and trust. I will be with you always, even to the end of time. Yes, we can trust, because every promise that Jesus made, every promise in the Bible, has been and will be fulfilled. And we can also have courage and confidence to live out and to fulfill the Great Commission, to go wherever we are to share the life-transforming message of Jesus Christ. What an amazing portrait we have of the emerging church in its infancy in these opening pages of the Acts of the Apostles. And so, in conclusion this morning, I leave you what I believe to be 10 important marks of any church, and I'm sure there are others. What made the church in the Acts of the Apostles a vibrant, flourishing, and impacting church? Here they are. One, the first disciples knew the one in whom they believed, and they knew why they believed. I have said that already, and I will continue to emphasize it. It is important that we know the one in whom we have placed our lives, but it is equally important to know what we believe and why we believe. Two, the early disciples, they were unapologetically and totally committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, but they also knew that they needed to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit and their daily walk with Jesus. Four, they challenged and they expected people to become disciples of Jesus. Five, they expected miracles to happen, and they saw divine intervention in the lives of ordinary men and women. Six, they believed not only that it was important to pray, but they also believed in the power of prayer and that God answers prayer. Seven, there was fellowship and there was unity in ministry. Oh, they had their disputes, and yet there was fellowship and there was unity in ministry. Eight, they equipped people for ministry. They did not just bring people under the impact of the gospel and saw life changed. They equipped people for ministry. Nine, they saw cultural and social barriers being broken down. They were developed Christian community. And 10, they not only preached powerfully, but they lived out what they preached. There was application, there was authenticity, there was reality in how they lived out what they believed about the Lord Jesus Christ. From the moment they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus and his mission was to be the consuming passion of their lives. And so I ask you, does the thought of seeing people becoming Christians, of people being healed and added to Christ Church Oceanside, excite you today? Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today. And so today is the day of Pentecost. How open are we to the life-giving, transforming power of the Holy Spirit? Are you thirsty? Not for water, not for tea or coffee, but are you thirsty for more and more of Jesus through the Holy Spirit? You only have to ask, and he will come and quench your thirst. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow through him or her." O God our Father, in quietness, in confidence and trust, may we at this moment, a very holy moment, experience, know the fullness of the indwelling power of your Holy Spirit coming into our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so we